right now, there is likely a predator in your bathroom.
Yeah.
And it didn't break in. It was actually lured in.
Yeah, especially since it's autumn in North Carolina and suddenly you're, you know, staring down this eight-legged squatter in the corner of your ceiling.
Right, exactly. And they don't just materialize out of thin air in October, even if it feels that way to most homeowners.
It really does.
So to figure out what's really going on, we're putting on our bug-out pest control hats today. We brought a stack of local North Carolina entomology reports, plus our own recent field data into the studio.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive is to uncover exactly why these unexpected guests are moving in right now and, you know, how to effectively manage them.
Yeah, because before you grab a shoe to just squash every spider you see, we really need to understand the biological drivers behind this sudden invasion of your personal space.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because, I mean, my instinct is always that it's a coordinated attack.
Right.
I naturally assume they know it's getting chilly outside and they're purposefully plotting to take over my heated floors.
Well, it's a super common assumption that they are seeking warmth, but the data actually points elsewhere.
Wait, really?
Yeah. What's fascinating here is that this sudden indoor spike is strictly driven by natural mating cycles and hunting habits.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So the temperature drop triggers biological clocks, not like a desire for a cozy fireplace.
So they aren't looking for heat.
No, the males basically abandon their webs and use chemical cues to track down females. And those females have already settled in resource-rich areas of your house.
Okay, so it's not a conspiracy against me.
Not at all.
They're just treating the living room like a combination of a late-night diner and a singles bar.
That is a great way to visualize it. Huh. That roaming behavior is exactly what brings them face-to-face with humans.
Because they're on the move.
Exactly. They are expanding their foraging territory into your space simply because there is active prey available.
Which naturally makes people wonder if they're actually in danger.
Right, of course.
I was reading through the entomology reports, and here's where it gets really interesting. Because everyone around here swears they've got a brown recluse infestation in their garage.
Oh, yeah.
But the data says they aren't even native to North Carolina.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest local misconceptions we deal with.
Wait, really?
Truly. In fact, studies analyzing hundreds of suspected brown recluse sightings submitted to state entomologists, well, they usually find zero actual recluses.
Zero. That's wild.
Yeah, they are exceptionally rare here. The ones you actually need to watch out for. I mean, the truly medically significant species in our state are the black widows and the brown widows.
Wait, so we're panicking over a myth while ignoring the actual local hazards?
Pretty much, yeah.
So how do we tell the difference? And why are these widows the real problem?
Well, black and brown widows carry potent neurotoxins.
Makes?
Yeah. You can identify the black widow by its iconic red hourglass, whereas the brown widow has an orange hourglass and banded legs.
Okay, orange and banded. Got it.
But the ecological dynamic between them is actively shifting. The brown widow is actually displacing the black widow in North Carolina.
How does that happen?
It's pretty remarkable. They reproduce much faster and are highly aggressive toward other spiders.
So they just take over.
Exactly. Meaning they outcompete the black widows for resources.
Wow.
And even though a brown widow's bite is generally less severe to humans, their sheer numbers are increasing the statistical chance of an encounter.
So knowing that we have harmless hunters and a few highly competitive widows setting up shop, how do we actually get them out?
Well, that's the big question.
Right, because harmless or not, I still don't want them as roommates.
Definitely. Well, professional pest control doesn't rely on chasing individual spiders with a rolled-up magazine.
No, I wouldn't think so.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, a spider problem is actually an underlying insect problem.
Right, so spraying for spiders alone means we're treating the symptom, not the disease. The spiders are just acting as a bioindicator of a broader, unseen insect ecosystem. One that's thriving inside the wall voids or basements.
That is the exact biological principle we leverage.
Oh, yeah?
To manage indoor spider populations effectively, we start with accurate species identification.
Right, to know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, we need to know the specific web building or hunting behaviors. Then, the real mechanism of control is eliminating the underlying insect food sources.
Like the ants and silverfish.
Exactly. The ants, the silverfish, the flies, all the things that are drawing them indoors. We target the structural microenvironments where those prey insects breed.
So what does this all mean for you listening at home?
It means breaking the biological food chain.
Right. You remove the prey, and the predators have no biological incentive to stay.
It's just a fundamental rule of ecology playing out right in your hallway.
Which brings us right back to that eight-legged squatter in your bathroom from our opening.
Yeah, it really does.
Since spiders only set up camp where the hunting is good, it leaves you with a slightly unsettling question to mull over.
Oh, absolutely.
What other unseen insect populations are currently thriving in your home's shadows to support this sudden autumn spider boom?
It really raises an important question to think about the next time you spot a new web in the corner of your ceiling.
For professional help, call Bug Out at 910-944-1825.